Can I, tonight we'll, try to finish up the last of the, of Jeremiah's second sermon. Like we mentioned before, he preached, the Lord gives him twelve sermons to preach in this book. And this one was extra long. Covered, I believe it was a little over three chapters. And so we'll try to get to the end of this one tonight. And the kind of what he's discussing tonight is the destruction of Jerusalem. We'll see more of this later in this study, because it's kind of like what we talked about in Revelation the other night, where here in Jeremiah, the first few chapters are kind of an overview of what's going to happen later. He gets into more detail later, and the Lord gives him more details later on in this book of what's going to happen. But we kind of get the gist of what's going to happen. Of course, we've already read the book. If you've done much study at all, you've already read through this book and you know what's going to happen. But Jeremiah the Lord's giving him an overview of what's going to happen, but he doesn't see all the details yet, but he will eventually. And he's dealing with, like I said, with Jerusalem in this section tonight. And in particular about their destruction, as Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And stick with us through the rest of this study, because it's the rest of this book. You'll see where what we're talking about now and what we've been talking about up until now, later it'll make more sense because he gives more detail later. But just remember that this is just an overview so far. In verse 1, he says, "O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. I'm not sure. Anyway, for evil appeareth out of the north in great destruction." In Judah, which was a common practice back then for nations, you had your capital city, which was Jerusalem, and then you had fortified cities out further out that were there to protect the capital city from attack. And these two cities that he names here were part of that. And so Jeremiah is supposed to tell these people to go blow the trumpet out in these two places, and he says set up a sign of fire, in other words, a bonfire or like a signal fire. They used different means of signals, whether they used trumpets, they used signal fires, they used other things at times, but this is what he's specifically telling them to use here in these places, because evil appeareth out of the north, he says, and great destruction. It's a warning to the people of Jerusalem. Now, he's going to continue to give these warnings, but nobody's listening. I mean, there's a small remnant that will, but for the most part, the people in Jerusalem are not going to heed Jeremiah's warnings, and we'll get more into that. "As I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman." And the daughter of Zion, he's referring to Jerusalem itself. "The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place." And this was another common practice in their day. The shepherds would come to the capital city, and not in the city, but around the city, to feed their flocks. And while they were there, that's when they would come into this capital and conduct their business. That's when they would go to worship at the temple and whatever else they did. But verse 4, prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. Verse 6, For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees, and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. This is always talking of the army that's coming from the north here and what they're going to do. They're going to prepare war against Jerusalem. And we'll get into this later in more detail, but Jerusalem will be under siege for a time before it's finally taken. And that's what he's talking about here. This army is going to come, and they're going to besiege Jerusalem. And what they would do is they would come, surround a city, cut off all sources of anything coming in and out of the city, and starve them out. That's how they conducted the war a lot of times against a city back then. It was called a siege, and they would, while they're starving them out, they're also attacking a little bit at a time and weakening their defenses. And finally, once they're, the people are starving enough, they're weak enough, their defenses are weak, that's when they go in for the kill. And that's what will happen with Jerusalem. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. It's going to be very bad in the city during all this time. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Over and over again, we see God telling Jerusalem to repent, and she doesn't. The people there have gone off into spiritual adultery. They followed after false gods. We'll see later where they're worshiping false gods in the temple itself. So God has told them if they'll repent, he'll put a stop to all this. It won't happen, but they don't. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. There's going to be a remnant in Israel, in Jerusalem in that day, and we'll see more about that. He goes into detail in that later on too. There will be a remnant of God's people, actually, in that city. And in verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. In other words, they're not righteous. They're not a holy people anymore. They've strayed from the Lord, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They're not following the commandments of God anymore. They've forsaken the law of Moses and of God and of their forefathers, and they have gone against what God commanded them to do. And now they're not even listening at all to God or to God's man. Remember, Jeremiah is the prophet sent from God to preach these things, and even Jeremiah knows they're not listening. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with withholding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others and their with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. The Lord's tired of it. That's a simple way to put it. He's tired of it. He's had enough. We know in our study in Revelation, same thing's going to happen then. God's going to get tired of, he's going to have enough of what man is, his man's rebellion. And now in Revelation, it's a different matter. It's here in Jeremiah, this is God against his own people. His own people, Israel, have sinned against him. And they show no remorse for it. In Revelation, though, it will be the whole earth. It'll be all of man. Everything, they're going to lose everything. He talks about the husband and the wife shall be taken, the aged with him. Their houses are going to be turned into others. There's going to be people come in and occupy the land. And they're going to be carried off into captivity. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. So even the priests in the temple, and even the prophets, those who claim to be prophets of God, are given to covetousness, he says. And they dealeth falsely. They're after money. Well, they're doing what they're doing because of money, out of greed. They're after riches and the lust of this life. And they're lying to the people. And we'll see this later too, where the prophets even, the prophets and the priests are preaching a false doctrine. They're preaching a false gospel, if you will, to the people. They're preaching a health and wealth gospel to them, that everything's going to be okay. Everything's, you know, this thing that Jeremiah is preaching is false. Don't listen to him, is what they'll tell the people. And they're going to lead the people astray. They're going to preach, he says, dealeth falsely with them. They're going to preach false doctrine and false teachings. They have healed also the hurt. Yeah. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Don't we hear, that's the same thing we hear about the end times, when they say peace, and that's when God's wrath's going to come. Same thing here. This is not God's wrath, of course. He doesn't bring his wrath on his people. This is his chastisement on his people. And he's going to, here in Jeremiah, we'll see later where he's going to bring his chastisement on his people for their sins, but the prophets and the priests are preaching peace. Everything's going to be peaceful. There's no war coming. There's nothing like that. We're living in a time of prosperity. You know, we see that in our own nation today. We're living in a time of prosperity today, but we also know that right around the corner is going to come God's wrath. We don't know exactly when, but we know it could be any time. In their day, they were preaching peace and prosperity and doing everything except for what God told them to do. Verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down saith the Lord. They weren't even ashamed of their sin. But if you going back to our day in time, and we see it, we see, you know, people are there, people that are not ashamed to kill innocent babies. You know, it's coming out more and more out in the open now. Used to it wasn't so much out in the open, but now it's, there's all kinds of, we didn't watch the Super Bowl the other night, but I've seen plenty of people commenting about it and guys I work with talking about it. Why would God's people watch that? And I saw someone ask that question. You know, there was a woman that said that she couldn't believe that she had to sit there and watch that with her kids. And I'm like, why would you watch it with your kids? You had a choice. You could have turned it off.
Sure.
You could have not even watched it to start with, because every year that thing gets worse and worse. So why even bother to watch it? Even just the sports in general that you see on TV, the commercials that go along with it. I used to watch sports, but the older I get, the least I care about it, because it's just like I said, the commercials, the things you see on the during the game, whether it's a halftime show or it's the language that they use during the game that you can hear. God's people don't need that. God's people shouldn't even be concerned with those things, and should be just leave it alone. But we've come to a place in our society, and even in with God's people, that some people are not even ashamed of it, you know. And that's sad to see, but that's where we're at, and that's where they were in Jeremiah's day. The people had sin had become such commonplace, even God's people weren't ashamed of it. He says, neither could they blush. They were just come immune to it. It had become such commonplace that they didn't even blush at their own sin. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It's a very popular scripture. But a very good scripture. If you look at that, it says, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. What are the old paths that he's talking about? He's talking about the old paths, the paths of their forefathers. The ones who followed the Lord. And he says, where is the good way? That's not a question. He's saying where the good way is, where the old paths are, where the good way is. Now, we know, you hear people talk about, you know, how much life was better 60, 70, 100 years ago. Well, we look at that. You go back and look at those things, and then you see the modern conveniences we have, and you think, well, they're crazy. You know, why would we want to go back where we didn't have indoor plumbing or no lights and that kind of stuff? Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the spiritual matters. And it's the same way with us today. We need to get back to the old paths as far as spiritual matters are concerned. He says, and walk therein. Walk the good walk. Walk with the Lord. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Look around us today at people who have no rest spiritually. And even those who are God's children even will tell you they have no rest spiritually. It's because they're not walking with the Lord. We know the lost man is not, that's not going to happen anyway, but unless the Lord, unless they're his elect and he saves them, but those who are not elect, they're never going to have rest. Now, the closest thing they're going to have is what they have now. But even then, man, even a lost man will even see that he can have no rest in this life. They're never satisfied, even with riches and with fame and all that. They're never satisfied. Our only satisfaction's in the Lord. It says, but they said, we will not walk therein. They rebel, openly rebel. They refuse to follow the Lord. Notice who says this. He says, thus saith the Lord, in the beginning of this verse. It's not Jeremiah that says it himself. It's not something he come up with. Jeremiah says it. He says, this is what the Lord says. And for many people, that's a turnoff. Right off. When you tell them this is what the Lord says, they're going to argue with you. Well, that don't make any sense, or that doesn't fit my situation, or, you know, whatever. But if the Lord says it, we need to do it. We need to follow. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. All through the history of Israel, God sent prophets and priests and kings and other men who preached about the Lord and tried to lead them in the right direction, and they still rebelled. They kept, even from the beginning, and I forget the scripture now, where the Lord told them to go back, that it goes all the way back to when they come out of Egypt. It didn't start in Jeremiah's day. It had been going on for a long time. It just got worse. It came to a head and got a lot worse in Jeremiah's day. But even their forefathers, as soon as they come out of Egypt, they stopped. And as soon as Moses was gone, and they didn't know if he was coming back alive or not, they build an idol, a golden calf in the wilderness. So it's from their very beginning, they had a tendency to want to stray from the Lord. Verse 18, therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Notice God says, I will bring evil upon these people. Not just upon them physically, but also notice he says, even the fruit of their thoughts are going to be evil. And God says he's going to bring it on them. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. When God's people try to offer sacrifices and try to claim to do what's right for the Lord, but it's not. You know, when it's against how, if our worship's against what he told, or how he told us to worship. In their case, they would offer burnt offerings to God on the altars of idols and try to say that it was the holy thing. And we'll see more about that later in detail in this book, but they weren't worshiping the way God told them to worship, but they thought they were doing it, but they thought it was good enough. Kind of like, in Genesis, remember Cain and Abel? Cain thought he was doing what was right by bringing the fruit from that he had raised himself. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted a blood sacrifice. He expected them to bring an unblemished lamb to the altar. And Cain brought fruit and vegetables. It wasn't the same. Here, kind of the same way here, they rebelled against God. They were offering sacrifices that weren't holy to God. And he says, your burnt offerings are not acceptable. They're not good enough. 21 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before his people, or before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north, or from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Here again, he's preaching to Jerusalem in particular. This army from the north is going to come, and they're not going to have any mercy. They're cruel, and they're not going to have any mercy at all. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. Things are going to get really bad, and they don't get it. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wail thyself in ashes, wallow thyself in ashes, make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. He's telling them, you need to get ready because it's coming. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people. Thou hast made that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Things are going to get really bad in Jerusalem before this is over with. And it's all because they refuse to repent of their sin and to follow the Lord. Likewise, it's going to be very bad. And now, remember what I said. This is concerning God's people. But also remember that there's also a lot of these people, even though they're part of the nation of Israel, are not saved too. But we're going to see something very similar in the tribulation when it comes. We've already talked a little bit about it in Revelation. Where they hid, they begged the rocks to hide them, the rocks in the mountains, in the caves to hide them. And the people in Jerusalem are going to be very similar. They're going to go to their false gods before they go to the true God and the God of their fathers. They're going to go to their false gods and beg them for mercy and for help instead of going to God. And by the time they do go to God, it's too late. And his destruction is going to come upon them. His chastisement is going to come upon them. And many are going to die. And many are going to be taken away captive to a land they know nothing about. So we'll pick up next time with chapter 7 and with the beginning of the third sermon.